that Brother Mark Tyson is not here today. Appreciate Mary playing the piano in his absence. Mark is down in Florida. He went down to conduct the memorial service for his sister that passed away. And so I know they would appreciate your prayers for the family during this time of sorrow. And so remember him in prayer there and also in returning home. He'll be gone again next week. I really appreciate Mark and his participation here and his faithfulness to play and sing and so forth. It means an awful lot. All right, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to welcome those that have joined us via the Internet. We're always thankful for those that do so, and our Internet audience has grown, and it's been, even of late, more people tuned in than previously, and so always thankful for those that tune in, and we praise the Lord for the opportunity to be on the Internet. I would mention that the messages remain on Facebook for about a month, and then after that, they go to our YouTube channel, and they're also on our website. So if you ever want to listen to a message that you didn't hear, if you have a particular series or whatever, you can find those at our website on the archives, and our website is understandingyourbible.com. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and as I mentioned during the announcements, of course, this is Easter Sunday. It's a day celebrated around the Christian world, and I think about that in relation to the fact that out of all the disagreements that Christians have, or even religious people, use that term Christian loosely because a Christian is a person, I believe, that is saved, but religious people in general have in common the belief of resurrection. And it's one of the few things that there's little dispute over. There's just, and it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there are those that claim to be Christians that believe you can be a Christian without believing in the resurrection. And in Paul's day, there were those that opposed the preaching of Paul. And the Sadducees, there are two groups of Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Bible says that the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but the Sadducees did not. And of course, the resurrection really is the foundational truth of Christianity, of the message of grace, the message of the cross, and so forth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul has, in chapter 14, Paul has, well, 12, 13, and 14, Paul is addressing spiritual gifts and the misuse of spiritual gifts. You get over to chapter 15 and the subject changes immediately. And to verse 1 of chapter 15, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12." Now, those first four verses are the gospel. We've got on a board up here, verses 3 and 4. Specifically, where Paul says, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." And he says what that was is how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. And that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Now, there's a portion of this passage that sometimes there's debate over as what the real meaning is. And it's back up in verse 2 when Paul says, "By which," he said, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." And then he clarifies what that gospel is. It is how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And I think you would agree that today you see a lot about the cross. You hear people talk about being redeemed by the blood, by the work of the cross, and how Christ died for us, and so forth. But many times people leave out one of the most important elements of the gospel, and that is the resurrection. And without the resurrection, the death and burial would really mean nothing. Because Jesus Christ was differentiated from all others that had died in that he rose again the third day as he said that he would do. He said that as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of in the belly of the whale, so should the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, I never have figured out all this stuff about Good Friday and Easter Sunday, because I've tried everywhere in the world and I've never got 3 days and 3 nights from Friday to Sunday. So that tells you that's just made up. I posted on Facebook last night the number of things about Easter that have nothing to do with Christianity, such as Ash Wednesday, Lent, Good Friday. Now, when I was working, I always considered any Friday I was off a Good Friday, and so I always appreciated Good Friday, but not religiously. Now, just think about that, folks. The amount of celebration that goes into these things has nothing to do whatsoever with the resurrection. They're all based in paganism, really. Easter bunnies, Easter eggs, all those things that I mentioned have nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, if people want to dye eggs and hunt eggs, that's fine with me. I mean, you got the liberty to do that. I'm not berating people for that. I'm just saying that the resurrection is far more significant than many Christian people and even preachers they're not willing to completely explain the importance of that. And so the importance of it sometimes is lost. Now, I want us to look at something here in verse 2. He says, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now, I've heard several interpretations of verse 2. I've heard people say that to believe in vain is to believe in the historical facts of the death, burial, and resurrection, but not trust in it for your salvation. I taught that for quite some time. I've heard others that say that to believe in vain is to believe all of the gospel but the resurrection. Now, there's something we have to look at here. He said, "By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory, which I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain." Now, when you get over to verse 20, he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." And down in verse 23 says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." So he keep emphasizing this idea of the resurrection. And he says in verse 17, look up in 17, "If Christ be not raised from if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Now, I just mentioned to you that in the book of Acts, it says that the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not. And yet, many of the Sadducees believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, but they did not believe in a bodily resurrection. And there are people that believe that today. They believe that Christ was the Messiah of Israel. He died on a cross, but they do not believe in the resurrection. Well, I know according to verse 17 that it's impossible to have vain faith. Vain is without value. It's empty. Well, how could you have vain faith? You could believe that Jesus Christ came to earth. You could believe that He was the Son of God. And you could believe that He was crucified on a cross. After all, the crucifixion is pretty evident. There were those that saw it. They testified to it. But when it comes down to the resurrection, He says, you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. And after verse 4, the next 15 or 20 verses deal solely with resurrection. So the resurrection is of utmost importance. As a matter of fact, it's not only important to us as members of the body of Christ, it was extremely important to the disciples, to the apostles. Go back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. You see, every gospel that was ever preached in the Bible ends up having the foundational truth of the resurrection. Old Testament saints died in faith. But why did they have the hope of resurrection? Because Jesus Christ would eventually die and be raised from the dead. The Bible said He was the first fruits of those that slept. And so, in Acts chapter 1, notice down in verse 20, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take, talking about Judas. Wherefore these men, which accompanied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that He was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of His resurrection. So in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus Christ is speaking to the 12, we know for a fact that Matthias was there with them all of the time. That's what the verses say. And He comforted with them all in and out. As a matter of fact, He told the disciples at one point that they were going to sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, did the Lord Jesus Christ know that Judas was going to betray Him? Certainly He did. Well, then, if He knew that, He knew Judas was going to sit upon one of those thrones. Matthias was there all along. And by the way, that is proof positive that Paul was not the 12th apostle. People say, well, Matthias was chosen by gambling, by casting lots, and so he wasn't a true apostle. Matthias was the 12th apostle, replacing Judas. And it says that he comforted with them all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among them, including being a witness of the resurrection. He says, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. If you go over to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 29, Peter is preaching this message to the nation Israel. He says in verse 2, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. You get over to verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, which would be Jesus Christ, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Why was Christ raised from the dead, as far as Israel was concerned? To sit upon the throne of David, that's what it says. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So not only was the resurrection a real and important event. It was a prophesied event. It was prophesied in the Old Testament by David himself. And in verse 32 it says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." It's interesting to me that when you read the first 8 chapters of Acts, you'll find far more references to the resurrection than you will to the crucifixion. Now, the crucifixion's mentioned. The cross is rarely mentioned. But the resurrection is mentioned over and over again. Why? Because that is, that was, and that remains the hope of Israel. They died in faith, believing they were going to be raised again. That's why in Acts 28, Paul said he was bound with that chain. "For the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." Paul was bound because of what he was preaching about the resurrection. We'll look at some verses about that in a moment. But notice over in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead." Every time they preached the resurrection of the dead. Why? That was the proof of Christ being who he said he was. That was the foundational truth for the gospel of the kingdom. Look down in verse 32. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold." Now, one thing that interests me about the early part of Acts is the majority of independent fundamental Christianity today teaches that the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 2. None of them really practice the doctrine of Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Oh, they might practice the water baptism, but I don't know many churches today where people are instructed to sell their possessions and distribute everything evenly. If they are told to sell their possession, it's usually to distribute it to the preacher, not to the people. And so the fact is that the church, the body of Christ, did not start in Acts 2. The church at Jerusalem started in Acts chapter 2, and it was built upon the foundation of the apostles and the truth that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He died, and he was proven to be the Messiah by his resurrection from the dead. Thus, as I mentioned a moment ago, the resurrection is the basis of all of Christianity, Jewish Christianity in the early book of Acts, in our early part of Acts, and throughout the first century. And today, many times when you hear the gospel preached, they just say Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. And they go on and talk about that. And of course, there is no more important truth than the cross when it's coupled with the resurrection. But the gospel includes all of the elements. That's why Paul said what he did in chapter 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. The preaching in the book of Acts, it emphasized the resurrection of Jesus. And his death is not mentioned that often. Now, Peter does say in Acts chapter 2, if you go back there, in verse 34, we read there in verse 31, he had seen this before, spake of the resurrection. Verse 33, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath raised forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, notice now, let all the house of Israel Now, the only way people can get around that is to claim that they are Israel. Well, Israel, guess what, is Israel. It's Jews. He said, let all the house of Israel know as surely that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the church there was founded upon the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the emphasis always was on the resurrection. And as I said, it is one of the major tenets of the Christian faith. It is proof of the deity of Jesus Christ. Look back over in 1 Corinthians 15. All right, I tell you what, before we go there, turn to Acts chapter 17. In Acts 17, in verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. Why did they say that? Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. You see, they equated the preaching of Jesus and the resurrection with idolatry. They did not believe in the resurrection. But it was preached throughout the book of Acts, and those that rejected it were rejecting the gospel. They rejected the truth of the gospel of the kingdom preached by Peter and the 12. They rejected the message of the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, go over to Acts chapter 28. Acts 28, real quick. Now, any person that, in dispensationalism, there are those that start the church in Acts 2. There are those that say the church started in Acts 9. Some say it was in Acts 13 when Paul's first message was recorded. But then you have a group of people that say the church didn't start till Acts 28. And they say the only epistles written to us are the prison epistles. And they use this verse over and over again, and they misuse it because of what Paul says. Notice he says, we'll cut into verse 18, or verse 17. It came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, our customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they examined me would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Well, what was the hope of Israel? It was the resurrection of the dead. Now, the Acts 28ers will say, that's proof positive that the only thing Paul preached during the book of Acts was the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection. It was not the gospel of the grace of God. That couldn't be further from the truth. All Paul is saying is he's identifying why he's in prison. the Romans were going to let him go. But the Jews said, he has committed blasphemy, he committed heresy, and what they were accusing him of was preaching the resurrection of the dead. So that means that there were numerous Jews that did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. So much so that, go back to Matthew 28. I'm going to a lot more scriptures than I intended to, but I think these are important. Matthew 28. It's interesting that this was included in the scriptures, but it's a very important verse. Acts 28. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. The watch would have been those that had seen Jesus. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. In other words, they were paying people to say that Jesus Christ's body was stolen so they could deny the resurrection. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The Jews today do not believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And this is the reason. Because they said somebody just came and stole his... Oh, they say, well, the tomb was empty, yeah, but somebody stole his body. And that's recorded in the scriptures. So when Paul said he was bound for the hope of Israel, he's saying, I am bound because I was preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll finish up here in a few minutes. And again, I believe the vain belief there in verse 3, or verse 2, believed in vain, would have to do with, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Listen, if Christ wasn't raised, folks, we just need to close the doors and everybody go do something else on Sunday. Because if that doesn't happen, then our faith is worthless. And his faith was worthless. Because the faith of Christ has to do with believing that God was going to raise him from the dead. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6 or verse 5, he says he was raised a third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that'd be Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater parts remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So that's a pretty good contingent. Now, you've got to ask yourself the question, would men be willing to die for a lie to the extent that the 12 were? They were put to death because they believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just the 12. There were 500 that saw him. Then James, then all the apostles. And then the apostle Paul saw him from heaven. But he recognized him in heaven as Lord. He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Paul so goes on to say, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, that church at Jerusalem. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so preach, and so you believed. Now, Paul's going to dive deeper into this thing about the resurrection. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? He said, listen, if Christ was raised from the dead, Why would you not believe that there's a resurrection of the dead for you also if you believe? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? In other words, you can't have it both ways. If Christ is risen, then there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. If he wasn't, there's not. And if Christ be not risen, verse 14, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be, that the dead rise not. So there were those that were preaching and teaching that there is no resurrection of the dead. The idea was that eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, and that's all there is. He goes on to say, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, verse 17. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If then in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Think about that. It's not a miserable thing to believe in Christ, folks. But those that don't believe in the resurrection are miserable because they have no hope. And so he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now I want to go back for a moment to verse 7, 8, and 9 there. Because he says, after that he was seen of James. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And he goes on to say, in verse 11, therefore whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believed. I missed verse 11 there. What I wanted to say about that was that many people will take that verse to try to prove that Peter, James, and John preached the same gospel Paul did. Paul testified the gospel of the grace of God. The whole reference here is about resurrection. And did Peter preach the resurrection? Yes, he did. Did the 12 preach the resurrection? Yes, they did. Did Paul preach the resurrection? Yes, they did. But when Peter, James, and John preached the resurrection, they preached it solely as proof that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and proven to be so by the resurrection. The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, said something different. Go back, hold on in 1 Corinthians 15, go back to Romans chapter 4. We read over there in Acts that David prophesied that Jesus Christ was to be raised from the dead to sit upon his throne. When Paul preached the resurrection of the dead, notice what he says about it. He says in Romans chapter 4, in verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, talking about the faith of Abraham, but for all us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. You see, you can say you might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can believe who is the Messiah. Believing in he was the Messiah will not save anybody. And yet I heard a preacher out in Texas, San Antonio, Texas, has a mega church out there, and he, in a message, he said, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah raised from the dead, then you're saved. No, that's not salvation. Salvation is believing that he died for our sins. He became the sacrifice. And Paul goes on to say there, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again, not to sit on the throne of David. He was raised again for what? For our justification. If he had not been raised from the dead, we would still be in our sins. We would not be justified. But when he came forth from the grave, he died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And he was raised specifically for our justification. Look over in Romans chapter 6. in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That is no water in that verse. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We are spiritually baptized into the body of Christ. We are buried with by him by baptism into death, that baptism of death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In other words, Paul is saying we ought to live as though we're already resurrected from the dead. New life in Christ. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, but by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall be delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority, for he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Hold on. You don't need to hold on. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. The verse says he's put all, the last enemy should be destroyed is death. Well, how did he do that? Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 10. But now, look up in verse 9. Who he saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice now, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The only way that you can be assured of having eternal life is by believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if you are saved and sealed unto the day of redemption, one day, whether alive at the catching away of the church or in the grave, you're going to be raised from the dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look there and we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1. Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Notice those first three words. For we know. For in this, that is in this tabernacle, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, ye shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we're always confident that no, while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, and I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And every person that is saved one day will get a new body and they will be resurrected. And I don't know how all that works, There's a lot of speculation about it, but I know one thing for sure. We're going to be with the Lord for eternity. Whether it's by the clods or by the clouds, we're going to be there. But the only people are going to be there that believe that Jesus Christ died for them, was buried, and rose again the third day. Does that try to separate me and you from everybody else? No. That gospel is available to all. And there are people in numerous denominations that believe that gospel and trust it and are saved. But apart from believing the gospel, you can't work your way there. You can't be good enough to go. You can't join enough churches to go. You can't be baptized enough times to go. You can't walk the aisle enough times to go. You can only go by believing that Jesus Christ, when He went to that cross, God placed all of your sin upon Him. And He died for that sin. He went into the grave. And 3 days later, He came forth and He was raised again for our justification. And when we believe on Him, the Bible says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this would be a wonderful day to do that. This would be a wonderful time. If you have never had a time in your heart and mind that you can go back to, I'm not talking about naming a date, naming an hour or a minute, but a time in your life that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to do that right now. Say, how do I do that? Simply by faith, you surrender your will and say, I'm going to believe that and trust that. And when you do that, in a moment, in a snap of a finger, you're saved. You never done that? Do it right now. Let's stand together and be in prayer. Our Father, we thank You today for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace toward us. We thank You for the great truth that one day You were crucified on a cross. You bore the sin of all mankind. You died for those sins. And You were raised again for our justification. And Lord, we thank You today that we can have peace because we're justified by faith. We can know what the outcome, not only of this life, but the life to come is. And that is eternity with You. And if there's anyone listening today that has never trusted You as their Savior, I pray that this would be the day that they would do so. Not for the glory of man, but for Christ's sake. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here today. You're dismissed.